Welcome back to another episode of Honesty Talk. In this episode, we are going to talk about prioritizing you. Now, as women, we are known to be beings who go the extra mile, who sacrifice, who carry, who hold, who manage, and often we place ourselves
at the bottom
of the pile. Now, that has an effect on our physical well-being, our emotional well-being, mental, spiritual. And it's really important for us to talk about this, because whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a mum, whether you are focusing on your career as women, in fact, I think it's society, on a societal level, we are encouraged to be that kind of
selfless.
Yeah, that selfless, that over-sacrificing.
Martyr.
Mm-hmm. But then who loses out in the end? So we're talking about women prioritizing themselves. Mm-hmm. And I really want to kind of look at this also in the angle of our faith. Mm-hmm. So Sumaya, I think I'll start with you, prioritizing you.
I think to set the kind of the pace of the conversation, the reason behind prioritizing yourself is important. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, moving away from the idea that it's selfish, or that if you focus on yourself or prioritize yourself, that you're taking away from, where it's not a conversation about this in exchange for that. You're not dropping the ball in another area in order to, you're just prioritizing yourself. And the fact that when I do take care of myself, you know, when the woman looks after herself, she's going to be able to show up better and more whole and healthy in every other part of her life. So for the family members and the people around her who will feel like they're now being put in second and third place, it's to understand that that person looking after themselves is something that you're actually going to cash in on. You know, when they're better, they'll be able to be there for you in a more wholesome way.
Yeah. I tend to think of why women typically don't prioritize themselves, and how that has led and leads to women feeling burnt out, women feeling like they're completely emotionally, physically, spiritually drained, women who then are snapping at their kids or not able to show up. Like, these are the results of women not prioritizing themselves. And why do women typically not put themselves first? It's because we have messaging that everyone matters first. The husband, the parents, the children, everyone matters before the woman matters. And so women then hold on to the belief that I don't matter as much as, even down to their finances. You will see women wearing clothes that clearly need to be cleaned up.
You just carry on. I'm gonna be the proper one in this episode. Yes, you just carry on.
I see your face and I'm like, what? But see, women wearing clothes that clearly need to be replaced, and they will get a sum of money and they will put it to the kids, they'll put it to the house, they'll put it to that. And if anyone were to point out to them, like, hey, you know, don't you think you should buy another whatever it might be, they'll say, but I need to spend it on this. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it with the women that have come to me to work with me. I can't invest in myself because all of the reasons, but yet you're crumbling and you're crushing and you're at the bottom of the pile. Heck, you're not even on the pile, and you know it, you can feel it. And yet there isn't there isn't enough of a push for you to actually take the stand for yourself. Mm. But it's just that thing that everyone and everything matters before me.
As you were speaking, something came to mind, and it was as a result of a discussion that I had with someone. And that was, I have been for a long time the type of woman that will spend easily on my children. Yeah. But when I spend on myself, I mean, when it comes to books, when it comes to, you know, I can spend on myself, no problem. Yes. But when it comes to other things, I feel guilty. I feel like, no, I could have. Yeah, I do. I could have spent that on the children. I could have, you know, spent that on an experience or something like that. But what was interesting is when I was having this discussion with this sister, is that as a child, I witnessed my mother do the exact same. So my mum, you know, my father wasn't working. She was managing the household, and she wanted us to have a range of experiences. So she would spend her money on us, and she would go without, to the point that as an adult now, I have memories of my mother wearing tights that she, you know, tights that had holes in them that she sewed, literally sewed up. And I remember as a child feeling, like, mom, like, no, you know? But it's interesting because as you were speaking, that came to mind. And I then thought, well, if I continue with that pattern, my daughters are also going to adopt the same. So it's sometimes it's generational.
I've seen it. I've heard it. Like, my mum was the same. My mum put herself last. My mum accepted so much from, you know, all of these people and never stood up for herself. So it's learnt behaviour. Mm. You know, if you have that modelled especially in your house, you decide, the unconsciously decide that this is how we roll. Mm. This is the status quo for us as women. Men can do whatever they like, but as women, this is the standard. And so you carry it on, and it takes us to decide that we're going to set a new standard. For me, the way I see it as the standard you set today is the standard you set for your progeny.
Yes.
For all the women, the girls that come after you are deciding what the standard is.
The change starts with you.
And it's so beautiful to think a change you make for yourself today. Okay, I'm going to treat myself to something because I deserve it. Your daughters are going to see that, their daughters, and all of those, you know, those generations that you'll never see and know about, you have had an impact in how they show up.
That's beautiful. It's very powerful, you know, and it's strange because my daughter needed something and we went out shopping and I saw a jacket that I liked and I picked it up and I tried it on and she said, oh, you know, it looks amazing. And then I put it, she said, what are you doing? I mean, you know my daughter. She keeps me in line. She keeps me in check. What are you doing? I said, no, I'm here to get you what you need. She said, no. You need to value yourself. You need to look after yourself. Yeah, I know. Mashallah. And she said, no. Put it in the basket. Mm-hmm. And I did. I ended up buying it. But what you see, we're talking about like materialistic.
Yeah.
Looking after ourselves and prioritizing ourselves materialistically at the moment, but actually,
that's just one angle.
The mere act of buying something for yourself, okay, actually sends a message to you that you're doing something for you. I'm not saying that that's the only way to prioritize, but it's basically doing something good for you.
And I think even more than that, it's you sending a message to yourself that you see yourself.
That's what I mean.
You're worthy.
That you're worthy. That I made a decision to look after me, to do something for me. And the more you do that, the more natural it will become. Mm-hmm. And actually, the act of buying something then turns into, okay, so I'm going to look after my skin better. I'm going to look after my heart better. I'm going to look after my soul better. It's like a roll on, you know.
Yeah, like it snowballs.
Snowball effect, yeah.
What you guys are saying about worth, and I think about identity as well, Because think about the distinction before you were a mom. Were you a slob? Like, what were you doing? So, because I do see the messaging, like we see it in film, we see it in TV, we see it in the people around us, that the mom is frazzled, she's late, she's schlepping, she's poorly dressed, she's overextended, she's here, there, and everywhere, she's, you know, she's quick and messy. But what about before that, when you were single, when you had all your income and things to yourself, were you taking care of yourself? For some people, it's personality differences, it's values around money. You know, we all have our things, like you said, the books, like I'm cool to spend on certain things, but other things, not really. So is this a before and after type of deal? Or like, is it, do we think that, okay, now that you're a mom, this is the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to change into this selfless person who prioritizes others. And what you said about modeling it for your kids and showing them that, you know, we take care of ourselves. This is how we do things. I think that with social media now, obviously we can see in each other's homes and we can see what we choose to spend money on and how we choose to do things. And I think it's important for us to model to each other that you can get nice things. You can make choices about how you choose to spend your money. And it doesn't have to mean anything about, it's not just for people who are affluent, because you are spending money on things. You're just spending money on other things, you know? So it's not just a luxury. Well, not all of us can afford to do 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. And you know, for me also, with my children, I let them know and express to them that I'm prioritizing myself.
Yes. Same.
To the point where I say, guys, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah. I'm clocking off motherhood. Don't talk to me. That was me the other night.
Yeah, I'm off the clock.
I said, no one mention a word.
I'm not available.
No, I'm done. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
Unless someone's dying.
Yeah. If there's blood, yeah.
And it's true. And it's so important for us to do that, because they see us then taking care of ourselves and knowing that we matter. And so they can take on that they matter and their well-being, their sanity, their everything about them.
And they need to
them.
Have their own standards and boundaries too.
Yes.
Yes. And it's so important, particularly for our daughters, as they then become wives and mothers, that they go out into the world and they adopt those roles, having their own standards and boundaries. But if they see mum being walked over, she's walking over herself, you know, then how are they going to be as wives, as mothers? So it's really, really important that we show them, like you said, we model to them how it needs to be done.
Do you know, as you were saying that, I found myself like, oh, because the conversation around women and girls is always in the realm of motherhood and wifehood, becoming wives and mothers. But there's a point that they're not going to be either one of those.
Yeah.
And I often feel like, when women taking care of themselves, or girls taking care of themselves, or whatever, it's always seen in the realm of being something for someone else, like a wife, like a wife or a mother. There's going to be a period where she's not going to be either one of those. And what happens to her then? And for me, like when I'm talking to my daughter, I'm saying, you learn these things for yourself.
Yes.
You don't learn it because you're going to become a mum. You're not learning to cook and clean and take care of yourself because you're going to be a mum and a wife, but because it's actually a life skill.
Yeah.
Right. And absolutely. So when I think it's really important for us to check our narrative, even when we're talking about women, that then not everyone even becomes a mother and a wife.
True.
You know, some women never get married because they don't find that spouse or whatever it might be. Some women never become mothers because they don't have the ability to bear children or they choose not to. So I think looking at women as, and this is why it's so important to have these conversations, because women are individuals.
Yes.
Allah said kun for her. Yes, she may have different roles she plays, but she is a single human.
Yes.
You know, an individual in her own right. And I think our messaging often is, because she's often attached to someone else and she's never seen in her own individual right, her sense of self is never about herself. Mm-hmm. Her sense of self or worth is about individuals. Mm-hmm. How much worth do I have in relation to my parents, in relation to my children, in relation to my husband, in relation to what I can do and give to everyone else? Mm-hmm. And that focus is always outward. And that's why it's difficult to rein it in and do things for herself, because she's been taught that you are only worthy and valuable in relation to what you can give and be for everyone else.
At the same time, I hear what you're saying, and it's a very valid point. At the same time, a woman, subhanAllah, Azawajal has created us in a way that when you have a woman who is formidable and powerful and she's looking after herself and she's taking care of herself, the effects that that has on everyone around her is magnificent.
Absolutely.
And so you're right. A woman needs to prioritize herself for herself. At the same time, see the potential of how far you prioritizing yourself can reach, even if you're not a mother, even if you're not a wife, but you will have an impact, because that's think about it. Mm-hmm. A powerful woman, it just rubs off on everyone.
Yeah, that term powerful woman, that shakes some people like, oh.
Yeah, please, no powerful.
A powerful woman is not necessarily just someone who's out there, but
powerful
you can
within
see,
herself.
You can see the way she's sitting, you can see the way she's standing. She could be very, very quiet. But just her mere presence has an effect on her colleagues. It has an effect on her neighbors. It has an effect on the shopkeeper that she buys milk from. So it's, and this is the way that Allah has created us. We have there's a vibe, there's something that we give off. Mm. And as long as when we're prioritizing ourselves, what we will give off will have
ripple effect.
Completely.
What comes to mind when you were talking is from the mom's position, this concept of taking time. Mm. And this is something that I've spoken to many women about. I'm a mom, I have young children, I don't get to breathe. I don't get a break, in a marriage. Like, my spouse, is off 2 days, whatever. But there's guilt around asking for the time. He works, he's tired. When he comes back, I feel bad to then say, okay, I'm gonna take this time or I'm gonna do that. Or even if there is an agreement that I have Saturdays, from 9 to 2, I feel like we should use it for family time, or the kids are not well this week. And so she'll cave on the time, and she's not feeding herself. She's not getting the time in. She's not getting the break. And then she's wondering why she's exhausted, and she's wondering why she's, overstretched, and why she's struggling to show up. And does that mean I'm a bad mom? Da, 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 da. Culturally, we hear a lot about men needing space. I need to go into my man cave. There's some mom caves. You need your break. And it's not extra, and it's not bonus, and it's not you being high maintenance, or it's basic.
And it needs to be scheduled in.
And committed
to. That's what I mean. It has to go into your planner. It has to go into your diary. Like, literally.
Treat it like an appointment.
Absolutely. Because you know what? We do that for the children. We do it for work. We do it for everything else. We meal plan. We do it even for food. Yeah. But hold on a second. When you look at your schedule, where does it say me time?
Getting my hair
walking
done.
Walking on my own. Reading a book on my own, getting my hair done, going for a coffee or whatever. It needs to be scheduled in. It has to be. We can't just leave it to, because you know what?
It won't happen. It will never happen.
So what I do now is every day, I have to do one thing for myself. And it could be for 15 minutes. But you know what? Every single day, and I have it in my planner, and it's different things in the week, and sometimes I change it around, but every single day something.
Okay, so people are watching this and they're like, okay, give us some ideas.
Yeah. Okay.
So come forth.
Come through.
Yeah,
come through.
So some of the things that I have in my planner is I go for a short walk on my own. I love walking. Okay, it just allows me to center myself, ground myself. I'm surrounded by Allah's nature, and I can just go into my own world and my own thoughts and just really kind of be present with myself. So walking. I love writing. So just stepping away from the children, stepping away from responsibilities, and just writing, reading, picking up the phone, having a deep conversation with a friend, What else?
You need adult conversation.
Yes, you do. You do. And you know what? To pick who you speak to carefully. Mm. Because you know what? That me time is not going to be someone that needs your...
No town gossip.
No, isn't it? Or someone that's going to drain you. Yeah. It needs to be someone that's going to, you know, when you finish that call, it's like you're uplifted.
You're energized.
Yeah. You're ready to roll, you know? So it's, and it could be, it doesn't need to be for hours. Honestly, in my planner, sometimes it's just like 10 minutes. Yeah. Like sometimes, and sometimes I have to coincide it with like getting the milk.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So I need to get the milk. Okay, so that's going to be my one thing today. But on that walk, I'm going to be present. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to think. I'm going to talk to Allah. I'm going to, you know? And so it's, we need to get into the habit of prioritizing ourselves. And sometimes when life is hectic and life is busy, it may just mean 10, 15 minutes. But the more you do it, the more you will find pockets of time or opportunities to do it more.
I like what you say there, because a lot of people, I used to fall into the trap of thinking that my me time had to be a whole day.
Right.
Like, I want all of you at my house.
All or nothing.
I'm shipping all of you to grandma's. Right? But that was leaving me in a place where I wasn't getting nothing. Mm. Because it was difficult to be able to fulfill that criteria of shipping everyone or leaving everyone, you know.
Or when they leave, then you see the state of the house and then you start cleaning, right?
And the day is gone.
And you know you can't relax.
Right.
Right? So I realized we need to shift this. We need to change this rule.
Yeah.
Because if I'm making it a whole day, I'm never going to get it.
That's
and
right.
I wasn't getting it. Mm-hmm. So I made it a thing like whatever time.
Yeah.
Even if it's 5 minutes with a cup of Earl Grey in the morning.
Yes.
And you're just taking those deep breaths in, you have filled your cup.
Yes.
And it's so important for us as women to ensure we are filling our cup.
Regularly.
You know what? I love a quote from someone who said that she doesn't give from her cup. She gives from her overflow. Mm-hmm. She doesn't give from her cup. Like, she fills her cup for herself and everyone else gets from the overflow of the cup.
I like that.
And I was like, ha, huh, yes.
The Nigerian accent is coming out.
I've done all the accents this season.
Today, not this season.
Just like last night.
But you know, I love that. Because
love
it
that
means
analogy.
Then I am worthy of all the cup, everything in the cup is for me.
And everyone's getting the goodness, the overflowing goodness.
But most women, we're like giving the little bits at the bottom. Mm. And we're giving that to ourselves.
Yeah, we're giving ourselves crumbs.
So I made that like, okay, if it's 5 minutes, it's cool. We're not putting a time limit. It's just something, one thing.
It's not you just make something, that it's everything.
Yeah, but what I'm saying
but what I'm saying, the something becomes
everything for you.
Yeah,
it's meaningful.
Yeah.
There are some people who have issue with it though, as in you putting yourself first. Mm. They label it being selfish. What do we say to those people, Sumayya?
I love how you direct it to her, mashallah. Come on, Sumayya. Hit us with it.
It's funny that you give it to me because this comes to me naturally.
Yeah. That's why she asked you. That's why I said what I said.
But I didn't have this agony. So
yeah, exactly. That's why she.
This comes to me naturally.
Just say it. Just bring it.
I just feel like you have to fight for it. Mm. You really have to fight for it. There's a lot. This is arrogance. This is self-absorbed. This is selfish. And culturally, depending on the cultural background, there's a real stronger version to being selfish, and these are really bad things to be seen as. So I think that you see women's decision making kind of, they're trying to get away from those words and those being defined as that. So, and that means that this self-care thing goes out the door. And maybe they did see their mom do that. And maybe culturally they're expected to do that. A mother will do everything for her child. She'll, you know? being protective over this time. So you said set it in your calendar. Mm-hmm. You said, but you have to stick up for it, especially when it's new. because, you know, they're going to fight you for it. They're going to fight you for it. You know, if you stay home, you know, your spouse may bring the baby into the room. They may say, oh, I'm going to pop out for 10 minutes in the middle of your time. Just watch them for. If you have to leave the house, leave. If you have to, do protect it like you would. Like if this was a dental appointment or a medical appointment, you would take it seriously. You would actually get up and get dressed and get out. Like you have to fight for it because no one else is going to fight for it for you. If they see you're relaxed and two Saturdays in a row you stayed there and you don't seem to be taking this me time thing seriously, they're just going to cut into your time. They're going to mosey on over and just, you know. So you have to take it seriously because the cost of not taking it seriously is that you're going to be spent. You're going to be burnt out. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to get fed up with your kids.
Resentful.
They're going to talk to you and you're going to be like...
Or even if you're not mothers, you're going to be, you know, work is going to be, feel like a burden. You know, even if, you know, if you're a daughter, you know, serving your parents, it's, you know, it can be such a beautiful thing and such a spiritually fulfilling thing. And then you just feel like everyone wants a piece of me and I'm just giving, and I don't have anything left. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said. You have to be committed to prioritizing you. You have to be committed to it. It's really, really important.
It's a commitment to yourself.
And why not be committed to yourself? If you can't be committed to yourself, what do you have?
You know that what you were saying about being selfless. I remember using that word once with my coach, and she was like, "Say that word again." And I said, "Selfless." And she said, "Break it down into two phrases."
Selfless.
And she said, what are you doing there? You're detracting from yourself when you say selfless. You're not selfless. Don't use that. She was like, don't use that term. Right? Because when you are sending a message to your unconscious mind that you need to detract yourself in order to be able to serve others. But actually what you should be doing is pouring into yourself to serve others. And I was like,
You know what comes to mind as you say that, and I think I touched upon this in the self-love episode in season one, is that, I don't know, as you were speaking, I just had this image, right, of us as women going about our days, serving everyone else, right, prioritizing everybody else. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his knowledge, in his attributes, he prioritizes us. We're not, there's nothing detracted from his focus upon us. Nothing, you know, he's completely intimately focused upon us and what we do. He sees everything, he hears everything, he sees that which we cannot see, you know. And I just think to myself, like, little me going about my day and Allah is fixated upon me. He sees me fully. He's prioritizing me despite there being billions of beings and creatures and, you know, living entities in the world. He is interacting with me and my life as a priority. So if my Lord is doing that, then who am I? Yeah, what about me prioritizing me? I'm important. When you realize that Allah sees you as someone that's important and he's prioritizing you in the way that he's attending to you and nurturing you and giving you and withholding from you and guiding you and listening to you and observing you, then you know what? Let me apply some of that to myself. Let me give some of that close, intimate attention to myself and my needs.
And when you do that, you can move from it being, you're in a position of resentment and you're over giving, and you can move to being in a place where I'm actually serving and giving because I want to. From a place of love, where it is enriching. It doesn't detract.
It becomes an act of worship if you think about it. Because you know what? If you have that mindset that I'm going to prioritize myself and focus upon myself because I am important to the creator of the heavens and the earth, then it becomes, then whatever you do, that little walk as you go to get the milk, that you know, Saturday where you I don't know, you paint your toenails, whatever, you know, it becomes worship because you know what? I have been created with purpose. I was created by the creator. I am important to the creator, and I'm going to look after the creation, and that's me. And that becomes ibadah. So prioritizing you becomes worship. Okay, final thoughts on this, especially to those who may not have arrived at that place of being able to prioritize themselves. What would you say to our beloved sisters?
Start small, do something for you, especially if it's out of your nature. Spend that money. Do something for you, and it may be uncomfortable at first, but slowly. Just start small and slowly work.
Just £10 first.
Yeah, £10. Go to the charity shop, you know, pick up something.
I would say, I just think of in the Quran where Allah says, save yourselves and your family from the hellfire, and how Allah puts the self first before your family, and that it's okay to put yourself first. There's no shame, there's no sin, because in taking care of yourself, you see yourself, you see who Allah has decreed to be here, and you come from that place of purpose. And it's okay, cool, you know, we just do it.
Yeah, I would say, quite practically, that like, okay, this is gonna be like real practical advice. Get a piece of paper, get a pen, take out some time and put your name. And I've suggested this in a program that I deliver. Put your name in the middle of that piece of paper. And an offshoot from that is spiritually, physically, financially, hobbies, you know, every single part of your life. And then just do a brain dump, right? Mm-hmm. Brainstorm all the ways that you can prioritize yourself spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, and then literally get a schedule. Me, prioritizing me, and for each week, for the 52 weeks in the year, you have at least one thing from that list that you're gonna do in that week if you're starting out. Just once a week. At the moment, I'm doing it daily because I needed it. I really needed it. After the year that I've had, I needed it. But you know what? If you're not in that mode, once a week. And you know what? You don't have to sit there thinking about what you're going to do. You've got 52 ways that you're going to prioritize yourself in a year. Bismillah.
And if anyone's got a problem with it, let them sit in their mess, in your business.
Yeah. You have to prioritize you because you know what? Allah is prioritizing you. Do share your suggestions as to how we as women can prioritize ourselves, and we look forward to speaking with you again at the next episode of Honest Tea Talk, inshallah.
So you have the case of a woman who's been married for X number of years, has children or doesn't, and for whatever reason, her husband has remarried.
For sisters who have been on the receiving end of polygamy done wrong, they have no one to speak to about.
Let's not downplay the fact that polygamy for some women, especially in the realm of secret marriages, betrayal, lies and deceit, is a traumatic event.
We have the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know what it's supposed to look like.
It's complex.
There are spaces where she's being shamed and judged and sometimes ostracized by the community for taking issue with it, bullied into making a particular decision or not making a particular decision. We need to talk about that.
Yes.